Hey, Hamilton Mill Church family. In this series, we've been talking all about how to get out of our comfort zones. And the way we do this is through a gift we've been given by God called the Holy Spirit. And He empowers us to participate in the work God is doing, not just spectate. In part one, we talked all about how He empowers us to do things we wouldn't normally do. And last time, we talked about how He empowers us to say things we wouldn't normally say. Now this week, I want to push you a little further out of your comfort zone, just like Jesus did in Acts 1:8. As He was talking to His disciples, He said, "Go be a witness in Jerusalem," which is right where they lived, "but also to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And we are all called to do the exact same thing. So I've invited my good friends from GlobalX, and GlobalX is our missions sending agency. They engage people to go on faith-building journeys that serve people around the world. Now, I am so sad that I can't be there with you because I'm sick. So I've invited Jake, our Inside Out director, to lead the discussion. Will you please welcome him as he welcomes our special guest this morning?
What he doesn't know is that I planned this because I'm taking over. So I'm excited. No, for real, I'm really excited this morning to get to have this conversation with my new friends, Michelle and Gary, which is so exciting. I'm super excited for you guys to hear about them and about the organizations that they're with, and their heart for missions and in their heart for you as well. And so I would love if the two of you would just tell us a little bit about the organizations you're with, how long you've been there, and the people you serve, what kind of work is going on there. Michelle, we'll start with you.
Sounds great. Good morning. Thanks so much for having us. I work with Lighthouse Family Retreat, and we exist to strengthen families living through childhood cancer. We've been doing this for about a little over 20 years, and mostly through Seaside Retreats, week-long Seaside Retreats here in the United States. But in the last couple of years, have started to expand to doing regional retreats and providing helpful resources to the families that are living through cancer. I have been with the organization since 2019, and I have the privilege of working with our volunteers and the people that we get to mobilize to serve the families that are walking through this difficult season.
Yeah, which is just cool because we actually have sent groups to Lighthouse before. Has anyone in the room been on a Lighthouse journey? Okay, we've got some few, so not strangers to Lighthouse, which is awesome. So Michelle, we're super glad that you're here. Gary, tell us a little about what's happening in El Salvador and all the things.
Yes, I'm from El Salvador. Actually, I'm from Virginia, but my wife and I, Sharon, who is with me this day, went to El Salvador back in 1998 for me to manage a hotel there. All along, I knew that God had called us for something more than that, and then right after the earthquakes that we had in 2001, we found some children that had been living in an abandoned home. There were 56 of them. And God, knowing that God had called us, we took a leap of faith along with some others and took them in and formed a children's home. So we have a children's home, a Christian children's home in El Salvador. We're currently taking care of 29 children. And we have a beautiful farm, a 42-acre farm. They live in family-like settings. And we have a transition home for those that are over 18. They're the ones we serve.
That's great. And will you tell us what it's called? And for those of us who don't speak Spanish, will you tell us what it means as well?
Yes. It means Mina Hausafata. Some of you get that one? That's German. I'm sorry.
There were a couple understood.
There were probably, it means
they're still waking up. They're still
La Casa
up.
De mi Padre means my father's house. Yeah. Great. And the reason we did that is because the children, we knew that the children were going to grow up, and most of our children come from, fatherless homes. So over 80% of the homes in El Salvador have no father figure. And so we put the name My Father's House for them to be able to say, where do you live? Oh, I live at my father's house. But it also has a double connotation, obviously, because it is our Heavenly Father's ministry, not ours.
Yeah, that's super special. See, anyone remember the song, Big, Big House with Lots and Lots of Room? That's what I think of when I think of that. That's probably an old church thing. I'm sorry. But anyways, that's awesome. And I love hearing that. And I love hearing the heart that both of you have for the places that you serve, which is really cool. This morning, we're going to have a conversation about what it looks like for you guys to go to these places, but also to hear kind of stories of what's happened with you guys, having groups come in to the organization and help serve alongside you guys. And so I would love to start the conversation by talking about when groups come to your organization, what do you feel like is the biggest benefit they have by going, not just giving? Because I think a lot of times it's like, oh, well, I can give money to that. But it takes a bit of a sacrifice to say, no, I'm actually going to give up time and resources and whatever else to go. And so what benefit have you seen of groups going to serve rather than just giving?
Well, I'll get us kicked off. The biggest place that I've seen this play out in the last couple of years is we serve families with compromised immune systems for their kids. And so coming out of a pandemic, it was a little unnerving and kind of asking the question and being prayerful and seeking wisdom from medical professionals to say, hey, when is it safe for us to start mobilizing retreats again and serving families? And so we had done all of the research, asked the questions, and been really prayerful about it. And so in 2021, we were prepared to mobilize our first teams again, but we had to know if the families that we serve wanted to come on these retreats. And it was really humbling, kind of like a Field of Dreams moment, right? Like, if you build it, will they come? And so we opened our applications for our families that are living through childhood cancer, and within 72 hours, we had over 275 families apply. Just really humbled and grateful to be able to serve those families. But in order to serve them, we needed people, to come and serve and be on retreats with them. And so we just began kind of thinking that through and getting people on the ground. And actually, one of our first team of spring break was a Global X journey. And so this group came down with some other volunteers and served down in Florida with us. And I just look at, I happened to be on the ground of that retreat, and we had some families that were just really hesitant, and seeing how groups came in and just met them where they were and loved them and gave them the opportunity to step away from the chaos of cancer and actually connect as a family again.
Yeah, that's awesome. Michelle, I would love, for those in the room who aren't familiar with Lighthouse, for you to just kind of paint a picture of what it looks like for a group to go and to serve in one of the locations.
Yeah. So we're domestic, so we're here in the United States. We primarily are in the Florida Panhandle and on the coast of North Carolina. And so we bring down volunteers who have fundraised and given of their time to just serve families exactly where they are. And so what that looks like is the families that we serve come from all different backgrounds. They might believe in God. They might be a little angry at God, as you can imagine, or they may come from a different faith background. And so what we have the opportunity to do is bring them down to a week-long or a weekend retreat and just give them an opportunity to just be poured into for a week. And what that looks like is you guys as volunteers come and you do their laundry and you make meals or you don't make them, you serve their meals. We bring those in. And you sit around the table and across the chairs from them and just be able to give them a place to kind of share their story and begin connecting. And then the biggest gift that is given is that our volunteers facilitate time with our kids and our students. And so this gives the parents the ability to step away into an environment where they get to share with other parents walking a similar journey and talk about what it's like to live with childhood cancer. And sometimes we can think of that as glorified babysitting, right? Like, oh, parents go into a small group and we're babysitting. It is not that at all. If you're anything like me, if I watch somebody love my kid really well, then I feel really confident stepping away and saying, okay, I'm going to go take a breath because my kid is really well taken care of. And so these parents have been putting out the fire that's directly in front of them which is their child living through cancer. And so siblings get missed or neglected. And year after year and retreat after retreat, I just watch as volunteers move towards these kids and for the first time might be asking them, hey, what do you want to do today? Or what sounds fun to you? And so there's a lot of time in the pool and crafts and nine square and all sorts of fun things that we get to do while these parents get to sit in a room and reconnect. Because one of our staff has said it this way, is that while there's one child that is taking chemo, the entire family has childhood cancer. And so we get an opportunity to minister to everyone in that family.
Wow, what an incredible opportunity. Gary? Love to hear a little bit about the same kind of question of when groups come to La Casa de Mi Padre, like what sort of experience do they gain? What opportunities do they have to go, not just to give?
Well, we've had quite a few people visit us from your particular church. I mean, not necessarily from Hamilton Mill, but overall, we've had over 400 from North Point Ministries through the years visit with us. There's some sitting over here now. They were just here this past summer. We're really about relationships, and it is about relationships. And so giving obviously is a wonderful way to help us, but really and truly what we love is the fact that we're able to connect with people and participate with them and form those relationships that go on through the years. We have a particular young lady sitting here this morning that came down on a team. Her name is Christina. She came down on a prayer team with us, and it was a powerful time of prayer where we prayed. Your people prayed with our staff. They prayed with our children. And Christina, in particular, had prayed for some of our kids, and one young lady in particular had been struggling spiritually, and one might even say that she was demon-possessed. I mean, it was, if you want to ask Christina over here later, she can share that with you. But the thing is that prayer time really did come about in helping to change some things and release some things in this young lady. She's now a mother, just had a baby, and is married to a pastor, and they live in the eastern part of El Salvador. Her life has definitely been redeemed as a result of that, and these are the kinds of things that we see over and over again. So had this team, not particular team, not come, but others, you would have never known to be able to experience that kind of grace that God shows and the way he weaves his people together on these journeys.
Yeah, I love that, and I love that. You know, that can sound really intimidating, you know, both those situations, to step into a situation where a family is walking through something you've never experienced and you're like, I don't know how to say the right things, or what if I say the wrong things, or to step into an experience like that that feels so out of your control. And both those situations can feel really scary. I remember I went on my first mission trip when I was in high school, and I went to the Dominican Republic, and it was the first time I'd ever shared the gospel with anyone in my life. And they spoke a different language than me. And I'm like, I have no idea how this is supposed to happen. They just throw me up there like, go. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And in that moment, you realize how dependent we really are on the Holy Spirit. And I think that is something, as we've been talking about this series, as Rahul kind of recapped earlier, talking about comfort zone of what does it look like to live a life with the Holy Spirit inside of us, and a life that says, hey, I don't know, like we were saying earlier, I don't know where, you know, this is headed. And I'm afraid of the unknown maybe, or afraid of what's ahead of me. But knowing that because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, that I can, you know, face anything, because ultimately it's not us doing that work, it's him. And so I love that in both those situations, there is a healthy dependence. We were kind of talking earlier about the healthy dependence that we have on God to do this kind of work, because otherwise, if we're just relying on ourselves, it would not be nearly as powerful. And the things that we see are totally a result of God doing that kind of work. So I love that you shared both of those things. And as you think about the impact that sometimes groups have, especially ones who maybe come in and they have no idea what kind of impact they can have, or the possibilities of what God could do through them, what have you seen in the lives of the people that you serve as a result of these teams coming in? Gary, I'd love to start with you.
There's a couple of things that I'd like to share. One, her name is Sylvia. Sylvia was a young lady, came in, it was a family of five. She had four, there were four sisters and one brother. And they had come from really tragic kind of backgrounds. And she came in, and there was a particular team that came down, and a gentleman who really wanted to help encourage the kids, and especially Sylvia. Sylvia loved the other kids that were in the home, and she kind of grew up there. And so Sylvia was encouraged and wanted to become a teacher. And this gentleman said, you know what? I'll help you with that. I'll pay for your schooling. And he did. And he followed her and he encouraged her. Oh, now I want to give you a clue. University or college in El Salvador doesn't cost what it costs here. It costs probably about $100 a month. So you can think, wow, okay, all right. But the thing was that he followed her and he encouraged her to become a teacher. She graduated from the university with honors. Wow. She became a certified teacher, and she now teaches our children on site and understands the kids and their hearts. She knows firsthand what it means to be there. And so she's able to speak into these children's lives. Had Aaron not really taken an interest in Sylvia and encouraged Sylvia along the way, I don't know that she would have done that for us.
Yeah, and what's so cool about that story is that Aaron's yes and step of obedience has now multiplied itself, because now Sylvia is also doing ministry and also changing lives in the same way, and God is now using Sylvia in the same way. It's one of those cool things. You have no idea. Like, you might impact one person, like, oh, it was just one person, but then that one person is another person. It's this domino effect, and we have no idea what God wants to do. And so that's a really cool story. Thanks for sharing that. Michelle, what have you seen at Lighthouse, similar kind of question of what happens in the lives of the people that you serve as a result of those who kind of give their time?
Yeah. We've been talking about is we're a highly relational environment, and sometimes that can be a little challenging for us to walk into, especially I love to mow my lawn because I like to look at the finished product, right? When you're talking about relationships, that's not always a measurable that we have at the end of the day. But going back to our spring break retreat that we had last year coming out of the pandemic, we had a family that came to serve and said yes to serving. And the family that they said yes to serving, there was just a lot going on inside the family. And there usually is when you're talking about childhood cancer. It's not just cancer. It's financial impact. It's marital impact. It's spiritual impact on their lives. And so they're just carrying a lot. And so this family came in, and the dad was not super thrilled to be there, to be served and down there. He was just kind of hesitant, and these volunteers kind of just stepped in and just kind of celebrated the family where they were. The first night, they found out that one of the kids really loves Frank Sinatra. And so when they drove to go pick up food, they were like blaring Frank Sinatra and just having a blast with this kid. And you saw very quickly the dad start to soften a little bit just as he realized these people were going to love his children, and not just the child on treatment, but all of his kids. And so that night, we were just all very prayerful and hopeful for what God was going to do. And then the second morning that the dad was there, he walked into that small group environment that we have and said, you know, I've been really angry with God for a really long time. And last night I spent time asking God for his forgiveness and ended up basically really committing or kind of accepting Christ maybe for the first time in a way that he never had. And so it changes the trajectory of that family. The mom was a believer, but the dad was not and was so angry. And so they have a lot of work, right, that still comes out of that. But what we got to witness was something shifting inside of that parent to say, I will now surrender to God, and I will lead my family differently. differently. And so, and that all started from a volunteer just kind of paying attention to how to love the kid really well, which then gave the parent freedom to start seeing their story a little differently and through like a God-shaped lens instead of through the lens of the trauma they're carrying.
That is amazing. That, yeah, to see someone's life change for eternity, you know, not even just in the moment. I think what you said is really important, that sometimes so many of us, we want to see like the direct impact, and I want to see a finished product, and I want to see that what I did, like we built a house or we painted this house or whatever, like we want to see physical things. But the work that I think God really wants to do is the internal work. And I think that's what he's in the business of doing. And all those things are obviously important, but to have the relational like empathy and awareness to walk into that situation. And what's so crazy about that is when I think about stories like this, it's, there were no like skills that he necessarily like had or like are needed. And he just, his best skill was his yes. And that was the best thing that he had to offer, was to say, yes, like I'm willing to do this and I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone, as we've been talking about, and do something that might seem scary, and just seeing what God does. And that sounds like almost too simple, but I think that that's the beauty of what God wants to do in our lives through journeys like this, is we say something really simple and just saying, yes, I'll go and I'll fundraise and all the things. And maybe it's hard work to do that, but when you get there to see what God does through a simple yes is amazing and astounding. And so I kind of want to flip the question, because I know that for so many of us, if you've been on a journey like this before, you know that sometimes when you go, you come back and you're like, wow, that almost felt like it was for me. Like I almost felt like that was something that God wanted to do in my life. And so I'd love to, if you guys have a story of someone in particular who went and served with either of your organizations and they came back and they were changed and something dramatic happened in their life. Michelle, why don't you start?
Awesome. So we a lot of times have families that come and serve together. We have people all different walks of life that come and serve. We've got empty nesters, we have singles, we have student teams. But one of the really unique things is a lot of times it's families coming down to serve families. We had this volunteer family that was coming down to serve, and at the last minute, dad couldn't join the trip. And so Mom, Sandra is her name, was just really hesitant to, like, she's got her two kids, they're coming down and serving as a family for the first time, and just not sure if this was what they needed to do. They were walking through some difficult things with their kiddos. They had he was in fourth grade at the time, and then their daughter was in seventh grade. And really the challenge was with their daughter, as she was just carrying some stuff where our influence as parents starts to shift in our kids' lives, where it's more the peers and the decisions that we make with our peers more than our parents' voice sometimes in our lives. And so they were just really battling through, is this really where we need to go? And so Sandra decided to still say yes and come down and serve on retreat with her daughter and her son. And it just changed the trajectory of her daughter's life. Savannah, as a seventh grader, just really got a different perspective. She began to see that there's more going on than just what's right in front of her and her story and what she was carrying, and was just really blown away that in the midst of families carrying really hard things, that there can still be joy and that God can still be present there. And so what was really cool is they came home a couple weeks later, Savannah just shared with her mom and dad, I want to get baptized. And in her testimony, she talked about their trip to Lighthouse and just what that did for shifting her perspective. I still stay in touch with them. Savannah has declared that she will have my job one day.
Watch out.
She's a go-getter. It's just been really neat to watch what God has done. And they've come back year after year. Dad has come now, and it is something that literally is on their calendar. They build their schedule around because of what it did in their lives. And we can obviously talk about what it did in Savannah's life, of her choosing that she wanted to follow Christ and do that differently, but also just for her mom and her dad to still say yes when it would have been really easy to say no in this season. And so that's one of my favorite stories of impact.
That's so good. And I love that you use the word perspective. And I think that is what's so important, is sometimes when we will get a new perspective and we step outside of the box that we're used to, and, you know, the going to school and going to whatever, like stepping out of the comfort zone and just getting a new perspective of what God's doing in other places and kind of taking the focus off of ourselves sometimes. And I think that is where God really does some of his best work in us. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And that is so incredible to hear. It's a family thing too. It's for not just the families that you serve, but the families who go to come back and say, wow, our family is healthier and better because we serve together, which I don't think that's a coincidence either. So that's awesome. Gary, what about you? What's happening in El Salvador? What kind of perspectives are we shifting?
I think one of the most encouraging things that I get to do anytime is to challenge those that are there in their area of faith and in trusting God. And I generally ask the question, and those that are here can testify, why are you really here? We know you're here to serve and do these things, but the truth of the matter is we want this to be a win-win. We want you to really understand and experience the Heavenly Father that we all serve, that we all love. And in a time, in a place where you don't speak the language, where maybe the food isn't exactly the same kind of food that you always eat, when you're out and amongst people that you really have never seen the poverty that the children get to see when they come down, or young people. And then we get into this time in the chapel where we sit and we just talk. And I ask them some of the challenges that they go through, and they explain to me that they're feeling like they have to live a lie. That they live with an image that is out there on social media, and that this lie that they live makes them uncomfortable because they have to keep up their guard constantly. So sometimes we challenge them if they would just trust God and learn to be vulnerable with one another. And I know that there's a lot of testimonies, there's a number of them, some even sitting here that can tell you that for the first time that they were able to be genuine and be themselves, to let somebody look in and speak to them. And then they've grown closer to each other as a group. It formulates these groups that go down, maybe don't really even know each other, but when they come back, they still carry this relationship that formed down there, and it continues to grow and encourage one another as they go. Another person that I just want to share real quick here is, and I mentioned Christina earlier, came down on the prayer team. Christina also came back, and she had heard of a lot of our stories. We call them God's stories. And Christina was in her kitchen one day, and she was like, what am I going to do? I want to write a book. She's very creative and things. And she said that God clearly spoke to her as she was standing in her kitchen, I think loading the dishwasher, and said, why don't you write La Casa de Mi Padre's story? And she did. And so we have a book. It's called The Miracle Farm. And if you want to meet the author, she's sitting right down there. And that has been something that I think Christina would share that has changed her life as well, and has been something powerful. And then these other young people over here, Gracie and Ryan and some of the others, can share with you what it's been like to have come down, and some have even returned several times.
Well, I'm glad they've returned. That's good. That's a good thing that they didn't stay there. I don't know if you've caught on to this, but we call these GoBlex journeys. We don't call them trips, because what happens in your life and what happens in the life of the group, as Gary just kind of mentioned, is so far beyond the week or, you know, the 9 to 10 days or whatever it is that you're in one of these places. It really is like a transformational, from the day that you sign up to saying yes to, you know, wondering, well, where the fund's going to come from. Like, that's part of the journey. And then obviously, like, the actual trip is part of the journey. But so is coming back and debriefing and talking about what you experienced and what God's done in your life and what you saw him do in the lives of other people. Like, that's all part of the journey, which is why I love that we use that word, because it just reminds us that God is doing so much. And it's not just a week-long thing. Like, this is so much bigger than that. And for obviously for all the people that we serve, it's so much bigger than just a week. Like, it's their lives that are changing and our lives that are changing because of the work that God does. And so I love that we called it that. And I love that you shared that that sometimes you go as a group and then you come back and there's this camaraderie that you form, but also this like shared experience because you're kind of amped up about what you just saw God do sometimes. And it gives you more possibility of what he could do here. You know, sometimes I think we get so tied into the mundane things of what's happening in our communities or your schools or in your families. And sometimes experiencing what God's doing somewhere else brings that hope back, kind of like what we sang earlier, that God can do that here too. And that God can do that, as we talk about, like we're for Hamilton Mill, we're for this community. God can do that here. And we want to bring some of that back home with us, which is so exciting. And I love that that's part of it. As we wrap up, you've got a captive audience, I think they're here. And you have a microphone in your hand. If you could challenge them with anything, to those who are on the fence about going or concerned about the money or concerned about taking time away from kids or off work, or what challenge would you give to someone to say, no, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and see what God could do with my life? Michelle, I'd love to start with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell a little story to kind of tap that out. Is we have, so at the end of every week, we do these hope jars that are filled with strips of hope that the volunteers have filled for our families that are living through childhood cancer, and they're words of encouragement, and they are Bible verses or just memories that they've made throughout the week of being together, because by the end of the week, everybody is so connected. It really... Our middle name being family is really appropriate because that's what it starts to feel like. And we had a dad that was on the retreat and being served four kids, one of them walking through treatment. And Jordan was just really wrestling through, am I a good enough dad? Am I providing? Am I doing what I need to do as a father? And we had a volunteer on this retreat, John, who they just built a rapport and a relationship and not anything big. Like, John didn't come down with some great skill set. They just sat around the table together and talked about sports, and we play poker when you're there. So they played poker together and just started to build a relationship. And at the end of the week, they get these jars of hope. And so Jordan tells the story that he was in his car on the way home, he and Mindy, and couldn't wait to open it, because we don't say goodbye at Lighthouse. We say see you later, because we don't want it to be the end of a relationship. We want it to be the beginning. And so the first one that Jordan pulled out was a hope strip that said, you are a good dad. Mm. And I think of, you know, John wrote that hope strip. And John writing that, he didn't come with, you know, oh, I've got all of this like spiritual discipline and all of these things that I know how to do, and I can say something that is going to remove the pain or fix cancer for Jordan's son. It wasn't going to do that. But what he did was he showed up. And he said yes, and he served, and he sat across the table and helped talk to Jordan to bring him out of his shell and broke down walls. And what God used John to do was to remind Jordan what was true, that he is a good dad. And what I love about what we have the opportunity to do at Lighthouse is, like I said, we can't fix cancer. We can't take it away. We would love to, but we can't. But what we can remind people by serving is that they are not alone and they are not forgotten in this season. And it is a really isolating journey, and it's a really easy place to feel alone. And so by coming and serving, it's so easy to come up with excuses of why we don't have to go and serve, right? Hey, it's time off work, it's financial, I'm not equipped, I can't say the right thing, what if I say the wrong thing, or it's going to be a really sad, hard week. It's a really joy-filled week. It's a blast. While these families are carrying really heavy stories, we get the opportunity to celebrate them and love them and have time together. And so the stories that I've shared are just snippets of what God has done in our organization over the course of 20 plus years. But the reality is it took one brave yes to go, hey, I'm going to go. And John said, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to bring my family and we're going to serve. And now John's family, every fall, their fall break is Lighthouse Family Retreat, and has been for 5 years now. And the flip side of that is Jordan's son is doing well and is in remission. And this changed their family because Jordan and his wife Mindy are now trained facilitators that facilitate that conversation in the room with our parents. And so each of them saying yes gave way to God inviting them. God was already inviting them into a bigger story. It just gave them permission to see what God was writing. And so that's what I would encourage you to just think through, is that God is inviting you into the story that he is writing, and you don't have to have it all figured out to come and serve.
That's so good. And I love, you said showed up, and how like that is like the most impactful thing that we can do. And you know, the words we say, the action, you know, all of that, it starts by showing up. And the most powerful thing that God will do is his presence goes with us. As believers, the Holy Spirit is inside of us and his presence goes with us. And that is so far beyond any skill you could take with you, any, you know, magic words that you may think that you have. Like, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to bring the right words to say that you are a good dad. Like, to know, for the Holy, that's such a Holy Spirit orchestrated thing. You know, to know that that is what this guy needed to hear, and that is what he happened to write on the Hope strip. That's so cool to hear. Gary, hit us with some wisdom. I know you've got it.
That's why I have white hair, right?
I didn't say that, but
I know that's what you were thinking, Jake. I share this particular verse with people that come down because I think it's important that you know. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand for us to do." Now, I don't want to lead you into thinking that, you know, that we are a works kind of salvation, because the two verses before that say that basically we're saved by grace and it's not by our works. And then Paul takes it one step further and he says, but once you are saved, once you are a follower of Christ, then you're called to do good works. And do you know what those are for you? Because it said God has prepared this beforehand for you to do. I think it would be good if you would take time to really discover what it is that God is calling you to do. That doesn't mean that you need to come down to El Salvador and work with our children. But it may mean that you need to go next door to your neighbor, or it may need to, you need to go down the street, or you or someone, a coworker. But I think the encouraging thing here is that we like to take some time when the folks come down to visit us to really help them understand what it means to trust your Heavenly Father. They can visibly see what it a life of trusting God can do. I can show you tangibly the children and their lives and their families that are changed. But you never know until you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and ask God that question, what would you like me to do? I think it's one of the most important things that we can do in our lives, is to ask him to show us what he's planned for us. Wouldn't it be awesome if when you got to heaven and you go and God says, come sit down with me a minute, and he reaches over and he picks up this book and you see your name on this book, and he opens it up and you begin to see your life that has come page after page after page, and he gets in about halfway through and he stops. And you say, well, what's next? And he said, I can't show you. Well, why can't you show me? It's because you wouldn't let me lead you. I had these plans for you and you wouldn't let me take you there. Now that's not in the Bible anywhere. Don't go looking for it. You won't find it. I'm just saying that I know that God does plan for you to do something. And wouldn't it be wonderful if it started on one of these journeys that you are able to step out of the boat onto the water in faith with him and go and do and serve. And I think your life will be blessed by it.
Wow. That's awesome. And I know for me, and you saying that makes me think about my own story, and that, you know, through the course of high school and college, it's where I kind of discovered my calling to ministry, to do this full time. And it wasn't until I got so outside of the normal of my life. I mean, a lot of you have heard my story. I was fully planning to go to medical school, and it was through the course of building relationships with people that I was like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I could do this forever? And I know that's not gonna be everyone's story, you know, but there are times when you realize, man, God has prepared this work for me to do, like you're saying. And sometimes it takes, you know, going to El Salvador to experience that. And maybe it's not to stay in El Salvador, it's not the work that he's prepared for you to do, but there's something about getting outside of this box where you can more clearly hear and think and let God speak to you about the works that he has prepared for you. So I love that you shared that. And I'm really grateful for both of you being here. As we wrap up today, I just want to say thank you. First of all, for being willing to say yes to this. You said yes to Rahul, but thanks for saying yes to me as well.
We stuck around for you.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Didn't run away. But also thank you for the work that you're doing, both serving the people that you serve and the organizations that you work with, but also allowing it possible for people like us to go and experience all that and to hear and experience what God is doing somewhere else around the world. And so the way that you open the door for that is really incredible. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I know that anyone in this room who's been on a journey would probably say the same thing. And those who are gonna go on a journey will say the same thing in the future. So we thank you. Thank you for that. I would love to pray for both of you. If you wouldn't mind sharing something that we could pray for you for personally as an organization, we would love to kind of close that way. Michelle, if you want to start.
Yeah. We just as an organization have been around for 22 years now, and we just always want to be attuned to what God wants us to be doing as an organization. And so just really praying for wisdom and discernment as we continue to grow as an organization, that we would be aligned with what God wants and not making it our own ministry, but continuing to surrender it to him. And then just specifically, we are opening applications for our families that we serve in 2 weeks. And so they have no idea what's in store for them. And that's a really cool thing. And so just praying for their hearts and their journeys through cancer, that they would just be open to hopefully meet some of you from this room and just be loved and reminded that God has not forgotten them in this season. And then we are just expanding regionally to serve people closer to where they are, because a week is sometimes a little too much for them to take away based on treatment or work or whatever else it might be. And so just as we continue to grow that part of our ministry, that we would just stay faithful to what God has called.
That's great. We celebrated our 20th year this year, and we have been a ministry that has been based on hearing God's heartbeat, listening for his whispering as to where to lead us and where to go. We want to make sure that we never take a step outside of his will. And so praying for us to hear God's will clearly and to know where it is that he wants to take us. The other thing is that we started a school as a result of COVID. We began homeschooling our children, and that has been just powerful. It's been crazy good. And so we are in the process now of getting accreditation for us to have our own school, which means in part we have to have a building. So if you would be praying with us as we continue to educate our kids, it's been just far beyond what we could have ever imagined for us to take and walk with him in this as we hope to build a building for our school, to children to go to school, and then to help serve some of the folks in the community with some educational opportunities for them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would love to pray for us as we close. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this morning, to be challenged and encouraged by people like Gary and Michelle. God, we thank you for their yes to dedicate their lives to providing a place for children and families just to experience your love. God, and I just pray for all of us in this room as we consider what it might look like for us to partner with organizations like them. God, that you would just challenge us with the same boldness to say yes and just to see what you might do. God, I pray for Lighthouse as they are expanding outside of the locations they currently have. God, and the families who might get to experience that in the coming years. God, would you prepare a space for them to encounter the Holy Spirit and to encounter the love and the joy and the laughter and the peace, to encounter you most of all. And would you continue to do that and teach the staff and this team and Michelle what it looks like to lead and what it looks like to serve these families really well, to love them, to remind them of how good you are, even in a season where it can feel like your goodness has escaped them. God, we just pray that your hand would be over all of this, all the locations of Lighthouse and over all the staff and the volunteers and the teams that are gonna go. God, we pray for La Casa de Mi Padre in El Salvador. We pray for Gary and his wife as they are leading this thing. God, and we're so grateful for their faithfulness over the last 20 years to continue to say yes to you and to see doors open. And now we pray for physical doors to open of this school that they're building. God, that you would provide a way, that you would provide money, that you would provide land and provide resources and workers and all the things that it takes to do this great work in El Salvador. And so God, we're so grateful for you and that we do all this because of you. And so we thank you this morning. Thank you for Jesus. And the reason that we do all this is because you loved us first. And so continue to challenge us to love the people around us, the people around the world. So in your name, pray. Amen. Amen. I would love for us to thank Gary and Michelle for being here one more time. Thank y'all for being here. As we mentioned earlier, this is one of those things that it really impacts us deeply. Those of us who've been on Journey can attest to that. And so I wanted to leave you with not my words, but the words of some of you and some of the people around our church who have gone on GlobalX Journeys before, just so you can see kind of the impact that you can expect when, not if, when you sign up to go on one of these journeys. So y'all can check out the screens.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I've been on multiple GlobalX Journeys.
Hi, my name is Christian.
And I'm Ellie, and we served with our four children at Lighthouse Family Retreat.
Hi, I'm Taylor, and I've been on 3 GlobalX Journeys.
Hi, my name is Isabella, and I went to El Salvador.
Hi, my name's Rob. I have been on multiple GlobalX Journeys.
Hi, my name's Chad, and I've been to Merida, Mexico 3 times.
I went to El Salvador because I wanted to find a way to give back to my home country. I didn't live there, but my family had lived there. And it was so connected to me that I just felt that I had to serve.
When I went to Brazil and when I went to Uganda, I definitely went and expected for the people there to be changed and impacted by me. I did not expect for the impact that they would have on me and my faith journey.
One of the common misconceptions that I actually needed to get over was the idea that I needed to travel abroad to make an impact. Lighthouse Family Retreat was nearby, just a few hours away, and the fact that I could bring the family to be a part of somebody else's story was a no-brainer.
Our other concern was fundraising, because it's a family of 6, and God just filled in the gaps for everything that we were fearful of.
I went from so much hesitation and reservation in regards to being able to fully fund my trip to being able to fully fund my trip and another person's trip.
Something that was really exciting for me was going to Merida with a lot of the guys in my Inside Out small group. I was so excited to go to Merida thinking we were going to build a church, and we did, but I wasn't ready for what God was going to build in me.
I became a different person. God took me from being an extreme introvert to being much more of an extrovert. I did not know that until I actually went on a trip, till I took the step of faith.
I could tell you a story of a bunch of adults gathered in a small church. I could tell you the story of a bunch of kids in Honduras. I could tell you so many stories as so many others could, but I want you to be able to tell your story of taking a journey.
There are so many ways that God can use you. God can use people in every season, every age, every stage of life. You never know what's waiting on the other side of yes.
God was able to use our family but he used the family we served even more to bless us.
I know you feel you have excuses, and to you they're totally valid, but growth happens where you take a step of faith.
Growth happens where you take a step of faith. You see, in this series, we've been talking all about how there's no growth in your comfort zone. The reason I know that is because that's what happened to me. When I went to a Global X journey, my life was forever changed. And I want the same thing for you. In fact, I want every single person at Hamilton Mill Church to go on a Global X journey. Whether you're 5 years old or 105 years old, there's a journey out there for you. Now, for some of you, you've been a giver towards journeys, and we appreciate that. But today, I want you to consider being a goer as well, because I believe there's life change that happens on the other side of your yes. So here's my challenge to everyone. Go have a conversation. In the lobby, our Global X friends are waiting for you to ask any questions and to learn more about the journeys that are available for you, your family, your transit student, or even your Inside Out student. Because everyone can experience something amazing when you step out of your comfort zone. So, now go. Go straight to the lobby and let's be a people who step out of their comfort zone.